Welcome to the Unconquered Podcast.
Lethal simplicity. I like to score fast. It's hard not to be a nose fan. Get Florida State back. I want a damn good defense. Blame no one. Make no excuses. Do something.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Unconquered Podcast. As always, this podcast sponsored by Luis Marquez of Keller Williams Realty in Jacksonville, Florida. By now, you probably know a lot about Luis, so going to keep that short. Also brought to you by Garage Makeovers, the best and highest rated garage remodeling company in South Florida. If you need any sort of garage work done in Palm Beach and Broward County, they're the people to talk to. Give the biscuit a call. Let them know you heard about them from the Unconquered Podcast, and they'll provide a special deal for any podcast listeners. Got to get what the details on that special deal are again, but yeah, they will take care of you, extra good care of you, and they're the best in the biz at that. I'm going to do a short preview of the Wake Forest game. Honestly, it's not worth doing an especially long preview for this one. A lot of people, you know, I'm guessing most of you have not watched a Wake Forest game so far this year, which is, you know, understandable, but, this is the last game on Florida State's schedule that, should be a win. And, that's just because Wake Forest is not very good. That 63-3 score against Clemson is reasonably reflective of, where they stand in terms of the general pecking order there, with a 0% win expectancy in that game. They also had a 0% win expectancy against Notre Dame, although they did score 27 points against Notre Dame and were able to move the football at different points, which tells you something. Now, that said, they were competitive against Boston College, 34-41 in that game. But even there, that took some good turnover luck. That took some field position benefit in that game. Their win expectancy was still only 5% in that game, even though they only lost by 7. So again, this is a team that's not all that good. You look at their overall rankings. They're across the various units. This is one defense that Florida State should be able to actually run the football on. When you look at their run defense, they are 97th in marginal rushing efficiency in terms of run defense, and they're 100th in giving up explosive plays in the running game. So if Florida State wants to, you know, gain some confidence and get a little bit of rhythm going in the running game, this is a good game to do that. In advance of the likely beatdown against that Clemson front that is not a front that you want to get healthy against. But they're not very good up front. They just don't have a whole lot of bodies. 72nd in stuff rate, which is really important since Florida State is even worse. They're 127th. Florida State gets stuffed in the running game 27.5% of the time. So basically, one out of every three rushing attempts in the Florida State run game gets stuffed for basically no gain or a loss. One in three, just under. So over one in four. Now, a lot of that is not because of the offense, not necessarily because of the offensive line. There are a number of cases where, as we've talked about in the film sessions that I've been doing, a lot of that has to do with poor reads in the RPO game, where Francois should be throwing it out to the edge on in the screen game instead of handing it off. But that still counts. They have not had any sort of consistency in the run game. 123rd. In rushing opportunity rate. I mean, Florida State has just been awful in the running game, and considering how central that is to Taggart's offense, that's that kind of typifies the season. But like I said, if you're going to get healthy against the defense in the run game, this is the defense for Florida State to do that against in terms of their ability to stop the run. If you look at it, they are trying to think of where they who they would compare to in terms of prior Florida State opponents. And you know, you look at Louisville, for example. Louisville in the running in run defense, comparable rush stats. So if you think about what Florida State was able to do against Louisville, they were 114th in rushing defense in terms of marginal efficiency, and 102nd in stuff rate. Whereas again, Wake Forest, right in the same range, 72nd in stuff rate. But you know, again, you're looking at within a few percentage points there, pretty close, and 97th in marginal rushing efficiency. So just a little better defensively against the run, but more prone to give up big plays in the running game than Louisville. So again, defensively, that's basically what you're going to get. And then offensively, they run at warp speed with no question. I mean, they run a lot of plays. Certainly not the ideal if you're an underdog. That's not how you want to go about things if you're an underdog usually. But that's just what they do offensively. They're going to try to get you in bad alignment situations. They're going to try to catch you with some matchup issues, and they're going to move the primary guy for them. They're going to move Greg Dortch, their 5'9" wide slot wide receiver. They're going to move him all over the place to try to create mismatches. And that's the one big concern for Florida State in terms of their offense, in terms of the Wake Forest offense. You're really not all that afraid of what they can do. I mean, they run the ball a lot, but you're not really afraid of what they can do in terms of the running game. I mean, they've got you know, their main back, Cade Carney, big back, about 215 pounds. Not really a breakaway threat, not super explosive. They're going to try to chip away at you, and they're going to play four down football. They're going to go for it a lot on fourth down. So they know that, and they're going to call accordingly. So if they're, you know, near midfield or plus territory from then on, they're basically counting on four down territory, which means that they can run it a little bit more. You can run, if you can run for 2.5 yards per play, and you're going four down, playing four down football, 2.5 yards per carry is enough to score, because nobody's going to stop you in four downs getting 2.5 yards a carry if you can do it consistently. So, you know, that's what they do. They run a lot of plays, and then they're going to go for it on fourth down. And then when they are going to get big plays, it's mostly going to come from Greg Dortch, that wide receiver. And he is a jitterbug. I mean, he's looking at it on the year. He's had 71 targets already. I mean, to put that in perspective, the most targets of anybody from the Florida State side is 37. Nyquan Murray has 37 targets on the year. That's basically half what Greg Dortch has on the year. So that tells you how much they're force feeding Dortch. And the next most is Sage Surratt. They've got a freshman wide receiver, actually the younger brother of North Carolina, now out for the season, was slated to be the starting quarterback at North Carolina this year before the year, Chaz Surratt. But Sage Surratt, bigger receiver, more big bodied type threat. They're going to, you know, throw the ball up to him a little bit more, try to use his big frame there. And I would expect them, with Surratt, he even though they only have 38 targets to him on the year, that's still more than Murray. But that's, like I said, almost half, just a little bit more than half of how often they've targeted Dortch. When they do target Surratt, they're going to try to get him isolated on one of Florida State's smaller corners, and they're going to try to use his big body. That's what they're going to do. And then beyond that, they're going to get Dortch in that slot situation. They're going to try to get him isolated on linebackers, on safeties, and ideally for them, other safeties other than Stanford Samuels III. You know, they'll use motion, they'll do all sorts of stuff to get him on AJ Westbrook, on Cyrus Fagan. Even better if they can get him on one of the linebackers, whether that is DeKalon Brooks, who certainly is the guy that they really want to put him on, or Jaden Woodby. any of those guys he's going to have an advantage on in terms of route running, in terms of short area quickness, the ability to get open, and he can cause serious problems with what he does to you in that passing game. They're going to find all sorts of ways, little screens, little throwbacks, all sorts of things to get him the ball one-on-one in those situations. And then if they get the right matchup in terms of, if they get a Brooks on him, or if they get, from what I've seen, Fagan is a guy that you do not want in one-on-one coverage. If you're Florida State, if they can get that matchup, then expect them to use him on some vertical routes as well, vertical concepts, to try to create some big plays, particularly off of play action. And they do RPO a lot. I mean, they don't run the quarterback very much, but they RPO a lot, where they're taking a very long mesh point. We saw this last year in they did against Florida State last year at Wake Forest, in the game that Florida State really should have lost. They will sit there, and it looks like play action where, maybe there's just a little bit longer hesitation from the quarterback, but the quarterback is reading that second level, checking to see if the linebacker is going to is going to actually play the run. And if he's going to do that, then he's going to tuck it right behind him. They do a lot of that second level reading with slants and little in routes and some outbreaking routes and all that, depending on what run concept they're marrying with it. But they're doing a lot of that to try to basically marry their quick game, their short passing game, with the run game. And that's what makes it so difficult to defend them. Now, they haven't had a ton of success, like I said, offensively. Their numbers aren't real good, in terms of once you adjust for pace. They don't have, they're 120th in the country in producing big plays. That's not real good. They're 71st in success rate. They're not real efficient offensively, and they don't have a bunch of big plays. But against a defense like Florida State, if you're not disciplined, and you don't, and if you have some problems with that linebacker crew, which Florida State has all year, and you can't cover it up by being able to single cover with the safety, then you can cause Florida State some problems. This is a tougher matchup for Florida State than a lot of people seem to realize. So, it's going to be interesting to see how Florida State matches up to try to take Dortch away. My guess is that they're going to go basically with a quarters base look most of this game because of all the RPO. Because of the high tempo, you can't do a whole lot of creative stuff. You don't want to cause confusion. But then what you try to do is you try to make it so that, maybe Stanford Samuels is, he's going to, you look at where they've been lining up Dortch all season. And then you try to work with that in terms of tendencies to make sure that Stanford Samuels is most likely going to be the guy who's on him. And then if it's not Stanford Samuels, if he's on the opposite side from Stanford Samuels, you just make sure that you don't have a one-on-one situation, that you're going to have some help. So yeah, you go with your base quarters look, but you tweak it a little bit to make sure that you're not asking, maybe you walk a linebacker out over top of him, and you have that safety who's responsible for that inside quarter. You have that safety playing with a little bit more help from a linebacker, chipping him or bumping him, doing different things like that to try to take away some of the stuff that he does. Can almost box and one him, depending on which side he's on and down and distance and all that, using a, box and one concept from basketball, which the term for what Nick Saban calls that is escaping me, but it doesn't really matter to get the terminology right. Basically, what you do is you put the underneath coverage defender one-on-one with Dortch, and everybody else is playing your standard zone. So that's the sort of thing that I wouldn't be surprised to see them do, just to try to take away the most explosive, the real player that they have, the one guy that they can cause you a lot of trouble with. And beyond that, this boils down to, can the defensive tackles and the Mike linebacker, so basically boiling down to D-Jax and the defensive tackles, can they basically limit the running game by eating up those interior blockers and dealing with the inside zone and some of those things? Can they do that while allowing the rest of the defense to play a little bit more aggressively? If they're able to do that, then Florida State's going to be able to snuff this offense out reasonably well, much like Clemson did. But, you know, the difference is, the problem is that Clemson has some pretty dang good linebackers who've been coached by one of the best linebacker coaches in the country for a few years now. And so that second level RPO game is a lot less effective against them than you would expect it to be against Florida State. So, you know, I don't think Florida State's going to hold this Wake Forest team to 3 points, especially not with the number of possessions that you expect in this. That said, again, I don't think this Wake Forest defense is good enough to consistently stop Florida State's anemic run game either. I think Florida State will be able to run the ball in this game probably better than they have at any point against an FBS team this year. I just don't see the personnel out there, even against Florida State's offensive line. I don't see the personnel out there that's going to be able to limit Florida State in the running game all game, as long as they execute at a reasonable level along the lines of what they did against Louisville or against even Northern Illinois and against Miami. That should be enough to be able to do what they need to do, provided you don't turn the ball over a bunch and you know, don't shoot yourself in the foot in other ways. You know, I think this is a game where you've got the opportunity on some play action to go downfield to some of your big receivers. The further removed Wake Forest has gotten from Mike Elko, now the defensive coordinator for Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M, the further removed they've gotten from Mike Elko, the more they've basically diminished in terms of their how difficult they are to play against as a defense, and that's particularly in the secondary. They're not causing quite the same number of problems in the secondary that they were. So I think this is very much an opportunity for a get healthy game for Florida State in terms of getting some confidence, being able to win this game, and play it in such a way that, you know, you at least believe that maybe you're better than you are. Lick your wounds a little bit after that Miami loss, and hopefully get polished up to be as competitive as possible against Clemson. You know, I think the spread in this one is 10. I actually like Florida State against the spread in this one because of the way that the matchups work out. This has obviously been a really difficult season to project across the board for Florida State, thanks to a lot of the inconsistency with personnel and injuries and all of that. I'm not even sure who's going to start, at what lineup is going to start at the offensive line right now, because they've gone through so many different options this week, and I'm not sure what they've settled on. But given that, even with that, I still think they're going to have an opportunity to be able to run the football a little bit against this team, which in Taggart's offense, if you're able to run it, that changes everything. And I don't think they're going to be able to score sufficient number of points per drive to beat Florida State here. I think there will be some points scored, because again, I think Florida State in the secondary is going to probably give up some plays. Secondary and linebackers are going to give up some plays to Dortch and to Surratt. That'll be enough, especially with the four down approach that they're taking in Winston-Salem. But I think, you know, it'll be something like maybe 34 to 17, something like that, is along the lines of what I'm expecting in this game. And, you know, I think this is one of those, you know, 8 out of 10 games Florida State wins, maybe, you know, maybe even a little bit more, because you're basically, I'd say 8 out of 10, because they've had a tendency to turn it over a little bit too much. So, you know, 7 or 8 times out of 10, Florida State wins this game. And they need to make sure that they do win this game, because if they don't win this game, they are not making a bowl. You know, you look at the rest of the schedule, Clemson, that's probably a loss. NC State. NC State is, I think, a little bit better than Miami. Well, you know, you just lost to Miami, and that's an at NC State after Clemson. You're going to be banged up, and, you know, that's not an easy place to play. I think it's at least as difficult to play there as it is at Miami. And I think that's a better team, largely because they've got a better quarterback, and they've got a couple NFL receivers, so that's a problem. Then at Notre Dame, that's probably a loss. And then you gotta win. If those are all three losses, you gotta win both against Boston College and Florida, even if you do beat Wake Forest. And you know, BC is no picnic. You know, they're a good bit better than Wake, and better than Louisville as well. So and then, you know, Florida has actually been pretty good this year, and unless they get more banged up, you know, the matchup there, Florida's got some players up front. So so yeah, they've got to win this game. I think they will win this game. It's just a matter of whether or not they can hold on to the football. I think you know, if as I've talked about previously on this podcast, it boils down to what turnover margin would it take to win or lose a game. I think as long as Florida State is better than -2, they win this game. If Wake Forest is +2 in this game, they probably are right there to win the game. So don't turn it over. Put yourself in a position to be able to get healthy in the running game, and I think Florida State wins this game. Again, there's no easy predictions with this this particular Florida State team, but that's going to go ahead and do it for this quick edition of the Unconquered podcast, previewing the Wake Forest game. As always, I'm your host, Jason Staples. This has been the Unconquered podcast. Thanks for listening.
Thank you all very much, and have a great day if you want to.
I made this.